Welcome to another episode of the Scenario Podcast. We're coming right back at you, hitting you with some more heat. Hope y'all really liked the Brad Edwards interview we just dropped.
Yes, sir.
Hopefully, definitely dope stuff, man. Definitely look out for that brother, you know, trying to affect the community and do his thing, man. So what's been going on, man?
Chilling, man. Oh, yeah, I was happy that Brad came through. I told Brad, I said, man, I said, you got them activities that you do when you just had a daughter and you realize you got to make the world a better place.
That's real shit. And other thing is other stuff starts not giving a damn about a bunch of stuff that you did before.
Right, right. So, yeah, you got the whole thing switch up. But, no, man, I'm chilling, man. You know, shit, I don't know. It's all the same thing at this point. You know what? And this is the first day on this quarantine that we had a holiday Monday. So it still was like it was a holiday in the middle of a bunch of days to feel like holidays, but not really. So like I was sitting there like, oh man, I feel messed up even on a regular day when I got it, like from Tuesday is Monday or whatever. But now I'm sitting there and I'm just like, I don't know what the hell to happen. It's gonna take me a month to even realize get back to little regular days I already had in place.
It's a trip, man, because he's like, oh man, what is it's I forgot I don't need I technically only know this is Thursday because if I don't look at my phone in the morning and actually look at the calendar, I wouldn't know what date it was.
See, I've started to get to the point. No, I'm not even started to. I'm there. I'm at the point where each day has a little different vibe to it.
Really?
Like each one has some different stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So like I got
is it because of like what you watch or listen to, or like, okay, I know this podcast comes out this day, so I know Tuesday because
Well, no, I try to keep up with all our shows now, but for the most part, that I got to figure out what day it is for those a lot of the time. But no, like I got like on Mondays, I go Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, I go run, you know what I'm saying? So I know that I'm going to get up in the morning and do that, you know, Tuesdays. And Friday is also a day I have my Zoom happy hour that, you know, with my own boys, you know what I mean? So we got that. And then like Tuesdays, you know, Tuesdays a day where I don't do hardly anything for real outside. So I know that's not outside day. The weekends, you know what I'm saying, my lady is at home. So, I mean, that's definitely has a different vibe to it. So, you know, it's a different thing. I, at this point, it would take me going back out would give me have a whole another month or two of adjustment. I got this casually incarcerated mindset now where
casually incarcerated. Is that a real official term? Like, I need to Google this. Is it casually incarcerated?
This is beyond white collar because I'm not like put in jail for anything, but it's just casually incarcerated. I can't really go anywhere, but it's pretty nice in here, so I can't complain.
There is not a term for casually incarcerated. You have coined it.
Got it.
Yeah, you got it. You made it.
We're all in America. We're casually incarcerated, but some people feel like they got work release even if they don't got a job.
There you go. Man, let's jump in some of these emails, man. Man, we had quite a few. But I'm just going to highlight a couple of them because some of them are just giving us props and stuff like that. So
I want my props. I need that ego. Give me the hope. No, I'm good.
I appreciate people, you know, doing something. Me and Matt, we're going to discuss some stuff, though. Like my whole idea, and I'm going to put it out here and put it on the spot. We're going to open it up. Hey, you give us the best voicemail or email. We just going to bring you on the show for half the show. I'm thinking of something like that where we just
– everybody could come on.
Yeah, yeah. We all casually incarcerated. So so why don't we do it together? That might like be the show title.
Like today is my black shirt day. Tomorrow I think it's a red shirt day.
So it's almost like a uniform for jail where you're like, okay, I know I wear
these. Some days are sweatpants day. Some days are basketball shorts. Like I got a whole thing. The whole thing mixes up. I got different days to do different stuff.
All right, first email comes from, it's pulling up here now, Lindsay. She says, you all have been killing me and helping me get through this corona time. One of my questions is, for the women out there, now maybe this is something that women as a whole can talk about. She put that in caps, I mean in parentheses. But what are women doing when it comes to grooming their undergarments? What are men doing to groom themselves in those under areas? I know you all probably don't have a give a damn about this, but I'm wondering what other ladies have been thinking. And I wonder if men that do groom down there are doing for their grooming habits.
I think she slightly said we don't look like the type of cats to take care of ourselves.
No, that's exactly what she's saying.
Maybe it's from looking at our faces on the top of our heads right now. I'm looking at your lip right now, dog. You got that hair. It done crossed the border.
Yeah, man. That's what I said. And I've been shaving this too. That's the thing. I've been shaving, like lining it up on my own, and it still be coming down.
You got some parachuters jumping out of the plane from one lip trying to get to the other one.
Yep.
I don't know, man. I feel like that's one of the things you can't let go, though, while you at the crib. I mean, like, you can't do a whole lot about the top of your head or, you know what I'm saying, anything like that. But you can shave. You can pretty much shave whatever you want to shave.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as I know, I don't live the type of lifestyle where I go somewhere, like, and somebody shaves me. keeps my undercarriage together, anything like that. That's always been my job to keep up with, so. I don't feel like you got to change that, you know. I know people might be getting a little, you know, lackadaisical, might not be doing all the stuff that they usually do. But yeah, I mean, you can still knock that out. You ain't got no problem doing that. That should be, there's some things that should be consistent. Like, that should stay consistent, especially if you're still living with somebody or if you sliding out, you know what I'm saying, still hitting the town a little bit to get to over where you need to get to. So, yeah, keep that up on y'all.
Yeah, I was interested to see if some of our women listeners would what they say about that when it comes to the mentionables areas, and especially maybe even the legs too. You know, I know that some women shave their legs all the time. I'm sure they could do that, you know, without going to get the bikini wax or Brazilian wax or, you know, or whatnot.
I bet you there's some bad situations at the house though with people
trying to do it on their own.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You might have some bleeders. somebody's gonna Mr. Potato Head at themselves. They gotta put their stuff back together after they took it off, put it in the wrong spot, and get their life back right.
Hey, that's the funny part. Like, man, I can't even, you know, come through. Like, oh, what happened? Oh, I had a little problem.
Right. People getting bored and experimenting on themselves. I don't know. I feel like right now is like the time where if you ever wanted to try something, this is the time to do it. You can shave all the hair off your head and you got time to grow it back before it's safe to go outside again.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got time. This thing carrying in the next year. So you got time to get through it, whatever it is.
All right. Next up, this one is from LL Cools Me James. That's a dope name. I'm assuming this is a brother. He says, what do you all think about everything we're seeing now within Corona? How will all the world be changing, especially when it comes to our sports? I recently just saw hockey has adapted to having almost a World Cup style / AU / field day style field day style bracket for their playoffs. What will we see with the NBA, MLB, football, etc.? And for Matt, if Major League Baseball does not come back, could this be another hit as well as it was for the 1994 strike for the baseball players and union? Just spitballing. Y'all been helping me out get through all these times. LL Cool James.
I'll answer that baseball one real
quick. Yeah, go ahead.
Jumping said something about this on Twitter earlier today is that, you know, the owners are trying to cut bait and trying to, you know, keep the money, as much money as they can. I mean, they're trying to get the highest paid players to get less so that they can tag it as having to give more to the, you know, to the lower paid players. Mm-hmm. And for me, what I see with baseball is more or less, this is just pushing them quicker to the strike that was going to happen.
Oh, wow. So you're saying this is expediting the strike you'd already talked about before.
I mean, it's the issues that they got. Just look at it like a divorce or like a separation or something. Like, these are issues that they already have with each other. These are issues that they already were having troubles with finding ways to remedy. So now when you put the pressure of trying to condense a season, trying to convince them to do some other things and then make some concessions and then do more things, it's going to keep money in the pockets of the owners. I think that this is going to be baseball is getting closer and closer to being the one sport that doesn't come back in America. Mm.
So you think that, what is the percentage in your mind of baseball not coming back? What do you think is a 50-50 deal or?
It's so hard to do percentages right now, just because of the fact that it's impossible to know circumstances. You know what I mean? There's so many different things that are going on that have, you know, factors that go into these things. So, you know, it's impossible to know exactly if that's, you know, how it's going to play out. But it's not going to work good if both sides are at war with each other and are having problems.
So you're saying, just to clarify what you're saying, so you're saying they may not play this season and still strike even next season, you're thinking?
Well, I mean,
or would this just?
Here's the thing. When we talk about next season, what does that even mean right now? We don't know when this thing is going to be over. You know what I mean? So, I mean, we kind of, I hate to be the fatalist here. We keep looking at this like this is a 2020 thing. We don't know when this is going to be over with. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's going to be a lot to negotiate. I think sports is going to be different no matter what, just because people are going to have taken some pretty big losses to their operating revenue this year. And I know it's always easy to say, oh, y'all are billionaires. Y'all got money to put up and have these things happen. But at the end of the day, these are still budgets and these are still things that work. And there's a lot of employees that go into this thing that you have to work in to make it happen. And some of these dudes ain't making no light money. Like some of these billionaires, they got money, but they still need to make the money that they make year in, year out, in order to do that, because sports isn't like some huge revenue generator, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's, and most of them make money from other stuff, not from
sports. Exactly, you know, and if the rest of their businesses are impacted and stuff like that, like this is a downturn just in general. So to answer the question specifically around baseball, I think that baseball could absolutely have ramifications for this to go into 2021. And they still, the CBA, they had to renegotiate the CBA, and they was going to be headed to issues with that after next season, after 2021 anyway.
Without Corona.
Right, no matter what, you know. So I think that the three other big sports in America, at least, those leagues, I should say, they're in the best position to figure things out and to ramp up, because you actually see them doing it right now. Baseball's talking a lot, but it sure in the hell doesn't feel like they're getting any closer.
Yeah, I mean, even soccer's even driven up. Talking about they're running in Orlando coming up in a few weeks.
Right, right. I mean, and the Premier League said they're coming back on June 17th earlier today. I mean, that's in Europe, obviously, you know. But I think that what we're going to have to see with sports in general is we're just going to have to see a couple of them. You know, let's see how it works out. You know, what happens when inevitably somebody gets sick? Do you have a plan in play? Is it going to shut the league down again? Like, what's it going to do? So, you know, it's just interesting to see how that's going to work out. But, like, right now, if I had to handicap the order of the sports that I think are going to come back and how they, you know, NHL's got a plan, you know.
Yeah, and they just dropped it out. And I mean, they dropped out a full plan, like, they hadn't talked about nothing. No, I'm saying, like,
working on it.
No, I know they have, but everybody else.
They've been talking about it some. I just think that everybody's looking at the NBA.
Okay, maybe that's what it was. I was like, they just came out of nowhere, like, bam, just threw out that big joker, like, here we go. No, we got everything popping.
They've been working. You know, that ain't brothers don't got their ESPN alerts for the NHL.
Well, no, because I remember I saw Gary Bettman a few weeks ago, and he was like, well, I don't know. We trying to figure it all out. And I was like, oh, okay. You was trying to be slick on us, and they had that big joker in the back pocket waiting.
Yeah. So the NBA certainly is having some productive conversation. At least you hear from their players, and I hear that their players are down with it too. I think that's the biggest difference between baseball and basketball is like, hey, we're down with it. I mean, there's a couple of things that mixed up in there, like, you know, like who are they going to bring back? Like Dame Lillard said, he ain't playing if he ain't got a shot at the playoffs. You know, is it gonna be a total 16? You know, as opposed to conference versus conference, what's it gonna look like? You know, so I think they still got some edges to round off. But yeah, I think NHL and the NBA have the best plan right now, and the NFL as usual is just being defiant, saying, "Hey, we're moving forward the way we always have. We plan on having fans. We plan on having all this." So as usual, the NFL is gonna have to learn stuff the hard way.
Well, so, I mean, I think the NBA has an opportunity to really play what they're, like, NHL's kind of doing with their, I mean, the NHL's been playing with their playoff stuff for, like, last 20 years. I mean, every year I'd find out some new way that the NHL is, you know, crowning their Stanley Cup champion. But if you look at the whole wild card thing, I didn't understand that. And then it was like, you know, like, you play against your cousin on Tuesday, and then you come back to play them again on Thursday, and it didn't make any, you know, kind of cohesive sense. You know, overall.
Yeah, the NHL has never been afraid to play with their format, but they've changed their league probably more than any other league. So yeah, I mean, you're going to see things like that. And I think that even if baseball does come back, you're going to see a different version of baseball. I mean, you'll probably see teams playing like in their spring training formats as opposed to their regular league formats. You know, you'll have – it's pretty much guaranteed there's going to be a universal DH this year if they come back. You know, so,
would that change the game going forward, you think? I guess that's another conversation that you say, like, that's after we figure out if we're okay. Like to say, like, oh, well, we just keep the DH in general.
Yeah, there's no way to know. I mean, it would require that. There wouldn't be a universal DH can go into play until after CBA is talked about anyway. So, I mean, because you're changing rules to the league. But yeah, so who knows? But I think sports is going to be different. We're going to see it. We'll see some adaptation. I think the leagues that are patient and the ones that really have been thorough about this and are getting cooperation on both sides of the aisle, you know, much like anything else in life, you know, you're going to see them move quicker and move at a more, you know, coordinated pace.
All right. That's get the emails. But if you want to email us at straightolc@gmail.com or voicemail. Like I said, the best voicemail, best emails. You is going to come on the show with us. 641-715-3900, extension 769-558.
Yeah, man. And before we jump into this next section of the show, man, let's talk about some other things we got going on the SOLC network, man. You know, if you haven't checked it out yet, you need to get hip to it. Commentary, coming back with new content. You know, just most recently talked about how toxicity is entertainment. Loved it. Loved that episode. You know what I'm saying? But the three of them, they really are getting into talking about some deep topics, getting into some things, type of discussion, you know what I'm saying, that's good to have. I think that everything's on the table, tackling some of those real life things that are in front of us. So, you know, definitely a different angle, different addition to the portfolio here on the network, man. So be sure to check them out. Videos out, check them on the podcast feed as well.
Yeah. We're everywhere, man. So you can plug into what you like, what you want to listen to. You just don't have to listen to us all the time no more. So,
but don't stop listening.
Don't stop either though. Don't let their show start outshining ours now. We don't.
If you leave us for them, we're going to shut them down.
Oh, so real quick. Look. Whole feed shut down.
This is capitalism.
Look, I'm talking about deleting everybody's videos. Everybody gone. No, I'm deleting off my own computer if you can't even get it back.
I'm really hoping that some of them pass us up, man. Let's keep 100%. On working. Yeah, let's make it happen. Keep some vehicles going.
Well, this ain't Harold Melvin and Blue Nuts, y'all. We ain't gonna do that. Do y'all like that.
Right. This ain't New Edition. This ain't none of that. This ain't Bad Boy Records. It ain't none of that.
No, exactly. This ain't Bad Boy Records. It's none of that stuff. It's more like the Big Timers. We wanna Everybody else needs to be better than us on this level.
Yeah, everybody. Let's go. Keep it rolling. Everybody wins. So, hey, man, let's get into a couple of our quick hits.
Yeah.
A couple of things we're just going to speed past real quick. First of all, while all these other things have been going on.
Yeah, go into it.
There's been another war that's been going on.
And it's real covert.
Yeah, it's happening. But it's out here. It's being waged. I don't know how many people are participating in it as much as the last time. I intend on getting into the mix with it here pretty quick. Chicken Wars back, y'all. Chicken Wars is back. And now this time, we got brand new players in the mix. This ain't even a rehash of the Popeyes Chick-fil-A battle again. This is all new players in the mix. So this time around, we got Jack in the Box that's dropping their own joint this time. We got Lee's
Chicken.
They
call this a Jack in the Crack?
Oh, I hope not. Jack in the coop.
Jack in the crack. just go ahead and just go lean into it.
We got Lee's Chicken to drop their edition of it now. And I'm just assuming that one comes dipped in sweet tea. They just dip the whole chicken sandwich in sweet tea. You can get both a heart attack and diabetes at the same time. Like the whole same joint take care of you.
Man,
and
we may need to have an episode where we just do like, what was it? Remember they had like the little taste test thing where like, what was it? The Pepsi challenge? Just get all the chicken sandwiches and just line them up.
And just get listeners
that come up blindfolded and tell me which chicken sandwich is which from which.
My God, I'd have to drink water for a week after that.
Man, why does the Corona do that? Could be our first live show of this Corona to happen. The chicken taste testing.
I mean, we could each go and get every sandwich.
No. I mean, it'd be listeners though, where they come up blindfolded and tell us which chicken sandwich is from what company.
Oh, say, man. Hey, man, that's I know Chick-fil-A. That one anywhere, man.
That's Chick-fil-A.
That's Popeye's, baby.
Damn, the Corona's messing up so much great content y'all ain't gonna get, man, right now.
I know that pickle juice anywhere, man. All right, dog. See? Be sure to stop by your cardiologist after this episode, too.
Because you know too many of these taste.
Yeah, you've been doing too much, bro. Yeah. Going completely into this blind, you know, on of course KFC is demoing theirs down in.
I mean, they were originally right the kind of the ones on the low with the double down.
Yeah.
Remember the double down?
True. Well, okay, wait a minute. Are they the originator, or is McDonald's still the originator?
Who had
the first dope chicken sandwich? I'm gonna say the first dope chicken sandwich I had was at Jack in the Box.
Yeah. Jack in the Box once they crown back.
Jack in the Box said, you know what? Fine. We're going to go Southern style now.
Because
so if, I wonder if people in the South, the true South, is offended. Like, what do you mean Southern style? What part of the South? We ain't all the same.
Yeah.
I want to know if my people from the South, are you offended when you hear Southern style something? Like, what does that mean? And who doesn't get to participate in it? I would stand up on behalf of Missouri doesn't get to participate in Southern style or anything.
Oh, my we're God. They have a Jack and the Crack had
we're
a
the
sandwich.
Of the Midwest, but we're the Midwest.
So hold on. Jack and the Crack had a 4-layer chicken sandwich at one point called the Big Quad.
Yes.
Did you know about this?
I saw the commercial. Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully your immune system blocked your eyes. Like, they eyes off. So everybody knows somebody that'll go and, like, try something like that, too. That's what scares me. Is it's like, we all know somebody that'll be like, oh, I gotta go get that 4-layer. Oh, man, I just gotta give it a run. Because that's what happened with that Double Down. Somebody got that joint, I was like, don't do it, fam.
Double Down had two chicken breasts, bacon, and cheese, right? But you had no bun. The chicken was the bun.
The chicken was the bun. I almost want to say they had that. Well, they had that bowl, too. Because I thought they had somebody put some mashed potatoes in there, too. And I was just like, oh, they put gravy on that Double Down,
that's
too.
That's how they did. They had gravy on the Double Down.
See.
Oh.
I know I've put together a comprehensive list of the 10 most unhealthy fast food items of all time before the next program. And I'm going to have that ready for us to talk about. So, like, out of these new entries into the chicken sandwich wars, just going into it fine, you got to rank them out and why. Like, who between Lee's, Back in the Box, KFC? I need quality. I need ooh, blackness. Okay. I need taste. I need the things that really matter, like the ingredients for something that's a dope-ass chicken sandwich and why it's winning and why it's
not. I'm going to go with Lee's one.
Okay.
Because the mixture of blackness and that Lee's famous recipe taste, I could see that working well maybe on a sandwich.
Okay.
Next, and a far next, is KFC. That's because I don't trust the Colonel. Strictly because I don't trust the Colonel. Because he stole the recipe from a black man named Remus.
Yo, did you know that the first KFC was in Utah?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. The first KFC wasn't in Louisville or Kentucky.
It was Utah.
Yeah.
That's appropriation right there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You got Southern style food that's getting made out in Utah.
Matter of fact, you know what? I'm downgrading KFC to number 3 just because of that now, since you brought that up.
Okay.
So, and second, I'm going with Jack and the Crack. The reason I was going to put them third is because I know health-wise, I didn't think it was going to work out well for me. Because I just feel like every time I've had Jack and the Crack, it hasn't been a great situation for me going forward.
Okay. Okay.
What about you?
So the next level. So for me, I'm gonna go off quality of that joint because I've seen these joints. On aesthetics, the KFC joint looks fire, but everything KFC dropped looks fire. Most of it looks good.
It doesn't look good in application though. Like when you actually get it, it don't look like the commercials.
Yeah. It's a different thing. It's like a bad Tinder date or something. Like it looked fire in them pictures, and when you moved it out the way. When you swipe right on it, you really just like, oh, I should have took that to the left. You're on mute.
My bad. So, I should have looked at more pictures.
Pictures. Exactly. So the thing that I'm going to say about it is, though, is that when I just know in my mind what's going to be the best, it's going to be that Lee's sandwich. That Lee's is going to be the best. Mm-hmm. And here's why. Because unlike anywhere else that we've had, even to a certain extent, Popeye's, Lee's sides are consistent with the taste of its main item. like Popeye's, now people get mad at me about this. Popeye's has some fire-ass sides, but they aren't sides to go with a sandwich, though. But Lee's, Lee's got them wedges.
Wedges that'll go with your sandwich.
And every sauce at Lee's is made for dipping. It's not a small thing. It's a circular one. That's the difference. I don't think there's been an entry into this so far that was more equipped for dominance than Lee's. But here's the thing. Lee's is going to be the UGK of this whole thing, though, too, because they're never going to get to a point where they're going to be as big and out there as KFC or Popeye's or Chick-fil-A. So Lee's is going to be the UGK of this entire thing.
the people's champ.
Yes, absolutely.
Is Popeye's basically... Because one of my homeboys said that Popeyes is basically the dude that came up that forgot where they came from a little bit sometimes, especially when you see Popeyes in other neighborhoods that they shouldn't be in. Like, you may be like, dang, and it's all Hispanic people working there. And you like, y'all done came up. Y'all trying to get straight mainstream across the board. Yeah. I need Lucille up front yelling about my they ain't got no wings.
Right, right. Well, so at this point, though, too, almost everybody's in now, right? Like, McDonald's have their little thing, but you know they don't have to stick with it.
Yeah, everybody's in it. Everybody's in the chicken battle.
Not yet.
Who's left?
There's one person hanging back that we know gonna get in it.
Hold on.
Churches is coming still.
Churches. Theirs is gonna be 50 Cent too.
Churches is gonna be like 3 pounds. With like a Subway sandwich bun wrapped around it, like this is some bootleg bullshit. Hold on,
so
you
saying it's gonna be the sub? Oh wow! So you didn't put it out in the air though, and they gonna end up coming up with the Subway version, like a 6-inch foot long joint.
And here's the thing: who's gonna go to Churches to get that joint? Because Churches, here's the thing. Let's just hypothesize that Churches drops the most fire one in the entire wars. Like, Churches is in position to shut the chicken wars down.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, ain't nobody going to get them because half the churches you can only walk into.
You can't go through the drive-thru.
Can't wait in their car. And folks going to be standing outside. Churches is going to single-handedly cause a spike in the Rona because cats are standing outside in line trying to
get it. It's been an executive order for them not to do it because of this, because of that, what you just said, though, probably. They probably said, like, you cannot do it.
I would love to sit in on a church's board meeting, just see who's calling the shots back there. I guarantee you that 6 of the 7 people that are executives of churches are club DJs.
Or former club DJs.
And not even like good ones, but just like cats that like go and take their iPod there and just plug it straight into the speakers.
Or the dude that just got the little Serratos that he just figured out online how to DJ and think he could do his little live DJing.
Exactly. Him, yes. He's the chairman of the board. Yeah.
Jason Stringbull. That would be
churches,
his name.
But then the CEO is a church is a church lady. Like Cicely Tyson or Hoodlum.
Oh, I'm looking at who is the church's chicken CEO? I'm interested now.
Don't do it, Doug. Don't do it. They're gonna come to your house. You know that's what they made the Patriot Act for. They're like, we wanna know who's looking for this.
Who's looking for the CEO of Church's Chicken? I think they're part of a conglomerate of other places, though, if I believe.
I'm 100% sure Churches isn't self-sustaining. I'm sure Churches is a part of something else.
James Hyatt. He's been there since 2011.
That's it?
Yeah, he's been the CEO since 2011.
Does he have a jerry curl?
He has no picture, actually.
Exactly. See? So does James Hyatt exist, my brother?
Right. There you go. It's Friedman. Friedman, Fleischer, and Lowe owns... Church's Chicken.
Freeman.
Right. Exactly. Freeman.
Freed?
Freedman.
Like he's been freed already?
No, like freed, Jewish freed.
Uh-huh.
With the I.
That's a front. That's exactly. Actually a Freeman. That's a yep. Freeman.
Oh, wow. So they own Tempur-Pedic. Midwest Dental.
All these things work together.
Discovery Foods. And Capital Source.
All these things. I don't know what Capital Source is. That sound like some money laundering.
It's a bank. It's a commercial
bank. It's a check cashing place.
For rich people.
So the people, wrong. The people that run churches own a mattress firm so that you can get you some rest after you get the itis from their genetically enhanced chickens.
Yep.
And they run a check cashing place bank.
And a dental place for you when your teeth get messed up, you can roll through there.
Right. All this shit related, dog.
Oh, and they own a home care, Guardian Home Care. So when you're on your last leg, they can come and help you out too.
Oh, like a hospice?
Yeah.
I tell you what, you eat enough churches, you're gonna have to. You should be able to get buy some stock in that. I'm gonna look up and see what the stock is for churches later on, and invest in their mutual fund, all them things rolled up in one.
The church's New York Stock Exchange number is FFL is a private equity firm. They don't even have no stock, but their individual companies do though.
So, I want to know churches, chicken. See, Church of Chicken ain't out there.
Yeah, Church of Chicken ain't on the free market. It ain't on the free market.
I'm gonna get to the bottom of this. I'm gonna own. I've been started investing since the Rona hit and prices then got affordable. And I've been seeing some great growth in some of the things that I got involved in. But now I want to own all the things that I don't believe in too, just in case they turn around. Church of Chicken will be at the top of that. Let's see if I can get pocket.
When is the last time you've had churches though? Before we move on, I don't even remember the last time I've had churches.
I don't know. It's probably against my will. Whenever it was.
Okay.
I'm gonna invest in churches. I'm gonna invest in Mystic Juices, and I'm gonna invest in Orange Hostess Cupcake. Not the chocolate ones, just the orange ones.
Just the orange ones, okay.
And I'd like to get some stock in the McRib, but not McDonald's. I want to see if they can a la carte the McRib stock.
All right, man. Let's move on, man. Chicken wars are back, though.
Chicken wars are back in effect. You know, we'll be keeping you up to date on that. Speaking of cats getting their bread, man, Joe Rogan, podcasters, the dream.
Look here, man. That's a win for everybody.
So what happened is Joe Rogan signed a $100 million deal with Spotify.
Plus residuals. Yeah.
If anybody wonders, you know what I'm saying, we do this because we enjoy it. We do it because it's what we crafted our careers in. And we also do it because people like Joe Rogan is getting cash out here. And you ain't got to give me $100 million. I'm straight. You can just give me a piece of that action. I'm good, baby.
Yeah. He's making book. I mean, like, you got to think that Joe Rogan said he was making something like 20 mil a year already or something crazy. Yeah. Like from just YouTube ads, like, or like stuff like that. Like just for his podcast, they ain't including him doing UFC and doing like stand up or anything like that.
Listen to Joe's podcast on the regular?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I don't listen. It's not in my regular rotation.
It's not in my regular rotation. It depends on the guest. Like, I look and see who the guest is. Or, like, even if it's somebody I don't know the name, I at least read the description and see what they're about. I'm like, oh, okay, they sound interesting. You know, so it's not like I just have to be a known name. I just have to kind of vibe with whoever it is in their description and, like, okay, they do this. Okay, I'm interested now.
Right. So, yeah, man. So, I mean, like, it's just crazy to see what's going on with the podcast industry, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
and even more if you think about
Spotify
it.
Spotify's invested in it.
Yeah, look, Spotify's building him a video studio capabilities for him to be able to keep video going.
So, it's the same thing that Simmons had built up. Yep. Still is doing. I think Bill Simmons is still using his studio.
Yeah. But Spotify doesn't have video at all. They're building video capability just for Joe Rogan.
Mm. Spotify's going to get there, though. It's inevitable.
Spotify's doing that, though. But I'm saying they basically – it's interesting. If Spotify's move flips it, it could flip the whole podcast industry to a certain extent because I don't have to do my video strictly on YouTube. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, if they have that capability there, well, then I'm going to – and then you start doing smaller deals with people like that. Lord, YouTube – because I'm in my mind, I sent you that video of where the dude was kind of breaking down how negotiations go. And I was wondering, did he come to YouTube and be like, yo, man, they offering me $100 million over here, man. What y'all want to do, YouTube, to keep me over here? Because I'm taking all my content off. And they was like, no, you good. Go ahead and take that money. And I don't know if maybe they did know, they don't know, or they figure they okay. But that's a big hit for them. Them losing Joe Rogan on all the because it's not even just him, not even just YouTube, Apple. He's bringing off everything on every other platform. It's only strictly going to be on Spotify. It's almost like that when Howard Stern made that move to Sirius.
It's exactly that. I mean, it's exactly that. That's exactly what it is. And it's kind of funny because Rogan's kind of in that place that Stern was in as far as being a radio show. He's kind of in that same place as for podcasting. So. But the industry's changing, man, and it's and it always is, and that's I'm constantly learning something new, constantly seeing another avenue, another opportunity that's going into it. So it's good to see that because that shows that that while the podcast bubble has continued to grow and grow and grow and be a bigger thing, pivot is starting to happen already. So it's like it's just about staying up to date with that and doing. Next quick hit, man. I'm gonna throw this one to you because I'm gonna be honest. I didn't even know what the hell this was when it first came up. Doja Cat is tripping out here apparently.
Yeah, man. Doja Cat, and the people that are not like mad, she had her first number one hit song last week or two with Nicki Minaj. And it's actually the first woman duo number one in, since like 2009 or 2010 or something, which is, you know, I mean, I guess that's a big deal. But, and it beat out Beyonce and Megan Thee Stallion for number one, all that good stuff. But this is the funny thing. And something, just to give people a small thing before I give like the my little take on it, which is kind of different, is Doja Cat basically was in, started as a teenager in these little like small, they call like small chat or tiny chats, where they're like small little chat rooms where these people would get into and they just talk and shit like that. But with this one, she was getting into these incel right-wing rooms and like doing weird stuff with them. And at first they were like, a clip came out and it was showing her basically saying, you know, talking about suck my nigger dick, you know, as, you know, she said that to one of the other people and they all laughing. It's all white males and they're laughing, you know, and it looked real coonish. Like she's like playing it up for them. Like she literally is going in there like acting like she's gonna show her body to them and stuff like that and rolling around, stuff like that. And all these white guys and they're like, oh, go show me a tit, show me a tit. Almost like an OnlyFans live, like a cam soda or something. Yeah. But then she, then it was like, then at first they were like, oh, well, no, that was like some years ago, whatever, before she blew up. Then they showed that she was in there 3 days ago, well, before it dropped, 3 days ago. Doing similar stuff. And come to find out, you know, I take a deep dive into the incel word on Reddit. You get a lot of insight to what they own. It's like going into the dark web, though. You only go in, like, I only go in once a quarter.
So, wait a minute. You please don't tell me you go into the dark web once a quarter.
No. I don't even know how to get to the dark web.
I don't either.
To be honest with you, like, I don't know how to get there.
And I don't want to go trying to find out either.
Yeah, I don't know how to get there. I don't, like, it's like being on, it's being at the Riverview Circle. I just keep driving straight around in circles. I don't know what my way off is to get to the dark web. But basically, she had said, I guess, in one of her lives and to like to, within the incel community, that if she won number one, that she would show her tits on Instagram Live. And they took that as an astonishment against the incels, and they started just dropping them clips to like let her know.
No.
They put it out there. It wasn't like nobody else coming out. They put it out there like, oh, you don't want to show off what you got? We got something for you.
So that feels like the ultimate internet bullying, but
yeah, but that's some incels. What do you think it is? You're in an incel group.
True, but it's also it's like some self-started stuff too.
Yeah, 100%.
So,
and she's very self-hating though. If you just look at kind of her, she kind of rocks. It's
so I'm guessing that just everybody loses in this scenario. There's no winner in this scenario.
No, the incels think they won, but they still not gonna get none. So it doesn't matter because you're an incel. Yeah. So you're forever losing. So
yeah, yeah,
okay. You know you're forever losing. So, yeah, that's a Doja Cat situation.
Speaking of forever losing, the people of two major metropolitan areas most certainly are. As over the weekend, we just know at this point, people are going to go out and do stupid shit on the holidays. It just is what it is. So Memorial Day weekend hit, and as soon as you – and, of course, you know it, that they just got in the streets. People got in the streets from far and wide, got in the streets doing all sorts of stuff. And TMZ picked it up on a national level that – the Ozarks here in the state of Missouri. I'll explain the Ozarks to people. I have to put this out there a little bit.
Like the TV show for people.
Only way countryer.
Yeah.
Only way countryer. But so Lake of the Ozarks had a packed pool party. I mean, just a
And that's a place called the Party Cove, people. It's like a place called the Party Cove.
Yeah. So people on top of people at everything all at once. You know what I mean? So, and I mean, big pool party. And I don't know if you're anything like me. As soon as I see clips like that, I start looking right away. Where are black people at?
I saw one black dude. Did you see the one black dude?
I did too, man. He looked like Flo Rida, though, so I don't know if he count.
I know. I saw another brother that looked like he needed a haircut, too, though. So it was like, okay, what's going on here?
And meanwhile, at the same time, you said down in Houston and at Daytona Beach, they were wilding
black too. Black people said, hold my Hennessy.
While we was holding people's Coors Light down in the Ozarks.
Yep, they said hold my Hennessy. They had a whole twerk off session down in Houston. If you see the video, you'd be like, oh, that happened last summer, right? No, I'm talking about like packed in there. They'd be like, pop it, you know how like the little DJ, this is, they, you know, they grab a mic, be like, oh, shout out to Big Chris.
Big Chris, I see you over there, homie. Oh, she twerking it. She twerking it. She bouncing it. Oh, she doing it. She doing it. Oh, somebody better get on that, fellas. Somebody better get on that.
Catch in there. Make it happen.
Yep, exactly. Just throwing water.
What the hell?
Doing all that stuff, man. They were doing all that stuff, man. Like, so, make it pop.
So, of course, this prompts state officials again have to be like, all right, everybody, time to socially distance because of what happened down here. Here's the thing I'm getting annoyed about. You keep being like, we need to encourage social distancing. We need somebody's, here's what we really need. We need somebody's mama to get on the TV and be like, take your ass home.
Yeah, like, somebody grab mama to grab the mic while that DJ going. Be like, Chris, what are you, or is that you? You give need to go them, home.
I want to know where are these people's parents at? This is just further proof that people is going home and they having that childlike mentality like that. Like, so I'm not going to say this though too. There's some stuff going on in the community that I see. While we talk about these big parties is ridiculous, especially when they had a whole keep 6 feet sign over them while they got all these people packed into each other. It further shows that inmates is running the asylum and that none of these governors and definitely nobody in Washington is able or wants to at least control what's happening out here. But for the first time in my life, it seems like it might actually be a good idea to live in like China or something like that. Because at least they over there like, why isn't the house? And they out there, if you like go back to that tape of Singapore, they're pulling cats off of bikes.
Oh, yeah.
And putting the wood on them. That's what needs. We need that. I'm willing to get on a bike and ride around town right now with a mask on, and just every time I see somebody doing something unnecessary, just wear that ass out.
Like a can't. That's a public caning again, like in Singapore.
Yes, we need a wear that ass out crew to just go around and just go home. Go home. Just wear that ass out till they get in the car, and then make sure they're going in the house. But
the Ozarks is a trip though, y'all. Like it's a. Black people don't really venture down there too much. Like, we used to have an event down there that was pretty dope called Summer Rain that we did every year. And it was pretty dope.
But that's the only time black people go, and a bunch of black people going.
Yep. And we would seclude our own thing.
Shout out to some of my white homeboys. They'd be like, man, you got to come down to the lake with us. I'd be like,
I'd be like, so where are we staying at? Like, what's the situation at? Like, what's the housing situation?
Right. Like, I'm not against going. Well, like, now I ain't going nowhere.
Right.
I'm not even going to the corner store. But I ain't going down there. That's a place where you better take some more of your people with you if you're going to go, brothers mm-hmm. and sisters. You see why when you watch Ozark on Netflix, ain't no black people on there.
Not one. Black people see an FBI agent.
They need to make a Netflix show that's called O'Fallon. That's the answer back to Ozark. And then you'll see the opposite of it where you won't see no white people. That's the world we live in.
Well, no, you gotta say O'Fallon Plate. You gotta say O'Fallon Park, not O'Fallon, because that could be O'Fallon, on the other side of the river.
Yes, I don't count that one. That's okay. All. Everything over there is St. Charles.
People will start Googling, like, what do you mean? It's all white people over there? No. He means O'Fallon Park.
No, go on the internet and look up the 10 worst neighborhoods in St. Louis, and then you'll find what I'm talking about. I did that the other day too.
Oh, really? You did?
Yeah.
They broke this down. Wow, I didn't even know they broke it down by neighborhoods.
Yeah, we'll do that one day. We'll have somebody extra St. Louis come on, and we'll break down the worst parts of St. Louis. But yeah, so that's just crazy that people are doing that, man. And you know, be careful. That's the reason why I'm saying be careful out here, because there's people that's out here that like straight up just are on missions that you ain't on, you know, walking that stuff back into your life.
Yeah,
straight up. And speaking of which, I think you brought this one to my attention as well. Let me find where this is at, because this is the, you know what? We're going to an older segment. We're bringing it back. This is the WTFW right here. Right now, this is it. Let me find it, because this brother right here just had me looking like, really, dog? Really? See? All right, so I'll give you the outline on it. So there's a dude that came out and said that he had the Rona and told his employer that he had it and he had been in the hospital and that he couldn't come to work because of that and needed to continue to catch his pay for being outside of the office. Now, help me out with this real quick. Let me make sure that I'm completely putting this out there the right way and I'm seeing this for what it is. This dude got fired because he said he had the Rona and now he's up for federal charges. So this happened down in Georgia. There's a Georgia man who tried to fake his corona, his employee out, leading to the business to temporarily shut down due to his presence being there. Now, this man's name is Santwan Antonio Davis of Murrow, Georgia, about 15 miles south of Atlanta. So for my folks checking this down in Georgia, I'm sure you have a better feel for where that's at than me. But he's admitted to employees that he did not have the virus, that he never got checked into a jail, and that, I mean, into he's going to jail. He never got checked into the hospital. The company called the hospital to find out, and they said he wasn't a patient there. And they asked him for a positive result, a result of his testing, and he said, I can't get that to you either.
And you know what he probably said? You know, that's a client, you know, a medical client privilege.
Called a medical client.
Yeah, medical client privilege.
First of all, it's called HIPAA. Second of all, he just medical client privilege. Yep, medical client privilege. New law while you're breaking another one.
Let's look at Law and Order.
It says he cost his company $100,000 due to this shutdown.
Now, they had to shut it down.
Something tells me that Santwan Davis was not making anywhere near $100,000 for this company to justify the cost that he hit them with. However, he did get released on a $15,000 bond. Mm-hmm. And his attorney still hasn't released any statement yet. Mm. We knew. Now, so part of this, okay, there's a few ways I can look at it. So in some regards, I get it. You know, we're making people go back to work. You know, some people are just like, shit, I'm getting out of that. I ain't losing my job, but I ain't going back to work yet. I ain't doing all that. But then at the same time, like, come on, bro. There's some different ways you can go about like fighting that having to go back to work thing than making an elaborate scheme that involves a hospital and reporting and all of that. And now you got a mugshot off of this.
Come on, man.
But from looking at his mugshot, he looks like a brother that would already – he's probably – this is not his first rodeo.
He had that look like, damn, man, I should have kept my lie tighter.
Yeah, exactly.
He had that look like – just some old bullshit. Not anything else other than that.
But he also was like, "Dang, I didn't know the feds was watching." I just thought I was just right, trying to stay at right. The crib.
Y'all called the FBI for real? What? Word?
That's a federal crime?
Y'all the FBI? What? Oh man, see what happened was we're not worried about that. Come with us. By the time we show up, there ain't no talking your way out.
Yeah, we scooping you up. It ain't no return when the feds show.
All right, man. A couple of sports things here. We're going to pass these quick hits, man. Let's hit some of our topics for the week. But before we hit these topics for the week, man, hey, we got a shout out to another one of the new programs that's tearing things up here on the SLOC network. Hey, right now we got the We Coming For You podcast.
They're killing it.
Two brothers on wrestling that's giving a whole nother perspective to it, man.
Yeah, it's pretty dope, man. I haven't kept up with wrestling in a long time, but it's funny listening to their show to keep myself abreast of what's going on.
It make you want to be like, let me see what these guys talking about.
Yeah. Like,
it make you want to be like, man, what the hell? Let me go check this out.
Let me see. I ain't never really watched AEW wrestling. I'm gonna go check it out. Let me just see what it's talking about.
So rated RVS, man. They drop them with us every week. We just had a fresh episode drop yesterday.
Hey, y'all better talk about this Mike Tyson thing I just saw on ESPN where he came in. Y'all got to talk about it now.
Mike Tyson and Chris Jericho showdown. I know they're hitting that. They were actually talking about that in another chat that we in. So I know they're hitting that when that come out. But they paid some tribute to Shad Gaspar, the wrestler that
passed. Yeah, man. Rest in peace.
Saving his son, you know, but got swept out to sea because of that, you know. But you know, they keep it pretty light. They keep it looking at wrestling a whole couple ways. You can go back a couple episodes back on Scenario. They joined us. And we just chopped it up with them for a little bit. So, yeah, that's the We Coming For You podcast. They'll be live every week here on the network as well, man. So check them out. I'm going to throw this one to you. Get this one started. But I think I have a very black delivery that just showed up to my house. I'm going to bring it on here live onto the show as we get going. Uh-oh. But first off, man, there's a sexual harassment case from the NFL that actually did not come at a player. No. This shows you that, like you said the other day, we are in the flashpoint paradox right now. Because NFL players are filing sexual harassment lawsuits, not the other way around. I'll be right back.
All right. So I'm going to break it down to y'all. So basically two NFL players were on a flight, I believe it's Delta, I will look that up for you guys real quick. But these players basically was in February. One of them was wearing a mask, and she kept on, like, yelling at him about him wearing a mask. Then she started groping him and grabbing his leg. So they moved her to somewhere else by another player, and she started doing the same thing to him basically. And they kept on asking and asking. They finally moved her to a seating section where she wasn't at. She's complaining that she had been drinking and is on medication. But they're suing the airlines for not taking their cries and taking their wants and needs officially and making them realize and be real, which is crazy to think about that. She was sitting there groping them, rubbing on their legs, and they kept on saying, like, yo, stop, stop. And then she was like, why you got a mask on? Why you got a mask on? And he was like, yo, what is so things going on with you? He was trying to be, I could see he's trying to be cordial. He's like, yo, lady, quit grabbing me. Quit messing with me. You putting me in a bad, you know, situation. Nobody wants to be groped on an airplane. And what's crazy is, there's been a lot of sexual harassment, particularly women. I know on planes, though, that's been a big issue for them. I know over the last couple of years on flights is people putting their hands on women and people in general that they ain't need to be having their hands on, or people kicking the back of people's seats and, you know, putting their feet up in between the aisles and your foot barefoot sticking in between the aisle and the armrest, and I'm looking down at your foot there. You know, those different things, those are the things that the airlines are kind of dealing with right now. And I don't know, this probably was happening before. We just probably did not know about it until people start voicing, you know, their full opinion about it. But it's crazy, man, to think about that. You can't even get on an airplane flight now and worry about somebody not messing with you, you know. So your package, what'd you get?
So I got some CBD gummies to see what's going on with these. And see what's happening with these.
The CBD gummies.
Touting them for a little bit. I said, hey, I got some time to sit here and see what this is about.
So what the CBD gummies supposed to do? What are they supposed to do?
Well, this is the calm mixture right here. So, you know what I'm saying? You eat them, supposed to, you know, keep you real leveled off and good.
Okay.
I'm gonna get these and see if it helps me to stomach social media a little bit better. And see if I can deal with the craziness that's going on there.
Yeah, but so I broke down everything for everybody with the flight, man, with the two NFL players. I broke it all down for everybody for the NFL flight.
I can hear you still. I can still hear you. But it's that's crazy, man. I mean, because you know what I'm saying, you when you hear sexual harassment in NFL, you immediately, you know, are like,
who finna get suspended?
Got their time, but these guys actually, you know what I'm saying, it's really out here, you know, just like, hey dog, we just trying to live our life, you know what I'm saying? Yeah,
mission is social media
and get them guys name, man, because they yeah, that's a tough spot to
be. Yeah, no, they won't release their names are under the sexual harassment protocol, where you can't release a victim's name unless they want to release it on their own, I believe.
I'm gonna find out Don't worry about that.
okay
who would it be the craziest for it to be? Like hating that Eli Manning got groped on a flight.
No, it was two black guys though. They said it was two black guys.
It was Russell Wilson and we know who it wasn't. It wasn't Earl Thomas, because he wouldn't have had it.
No, Earl Thomas can't get out. He can't get out in the streets, period. So he wasn't him.
No, man, I ain't gonna make light of sexual harassment though. Dog. That's
yeah, not, but, no. But I mean, those brothers was doing some yeoman's work then. The way they were reacting, her, what she was doing, like, right. Yo, if all that stuff is true, yo, those were going above and beyond being nice.
Just got a little Rona there, huh?
Yeah, just a little, the baby one too.
That's an infant, but
yeah.
Careful, dog. All right, so speaking of which, some crazy stories emanating from the world of football. Of all people, just make this statement. I'm just blown away at the fact that he fixed his mouth to say it. Reggie Bush, former Heisman Trophy winner, USC with the USC Trojans, former number 2 overall pick. You know, had to spend, you know, good, maybe 10 years in the league, I feel
yeah,
like.
Yeah, he had a nice run. I think he gets a retirement check.
For sure. Oh, well, he gets that check from the Dome, too. Reggie Bush is cashing checks from everywhere.
That's
Reggie Bush is cashing checks left and right now.
That's true. That's true.
He came out and said this week, of all people, that college football players shouldn't get checks. Basically saying that they should not pay college football players for the time, saying that it will destroy people. So Reggie is crafting himself as some type of a hero here or something, saying that this is going to destroy some people. And he has concerns about the recent NCAA plan for support of player endorsements because of this.
Was he saying that when his parents got that brand new crib, though?
I don't think so. I don't think that.
Was he saying that when he got that that Impala on Dubs? Was he saying that when
that 30 for 30 dropped? I didn't hear much of that coming from Reggie. This is an interview on Playboy. I'm gonna quote him real quick. He said, mm-hmm. "Guidance is the one thing that young athletes coming through the college system miss on so much. I missed on it. They're about to start paying college athletes. This is something that has never been experienced before, and it's gonna destroy some people if their foundation is not in the right place." I mean, I kind of get what you're saying, but you're not the right messenger.
Yeah. you're actually the antithesis of this. Like, oh, you got bread, Reggie. You don't want nobody else get no bread?
Yeah, see, he trying to take that whole Hove went through this. Hove did that, so hopefully you won't have to go through that. Like, nah, bro, they're just getting it, and it ain't going to ruin their situation. Like,
right.
That's the difference.
And Reggie Bush has got to remember, he's an all-star. Really, all this stuff, to me, needs to help out the cat that's just the offensive lineman that can go down to the Piggly Wiggly and put his name out there and get $500 for the food for the week. Reggie Bush is going to be all right. Like, right. He's going to be all right.
Reggie's going to be straight. Like, no,
like, even
what,
back then, I mean, Reggie was going to be all right. He wouldn't. Yeah. What's his offensive lineman life looking like right now? That was on USC. That's legs is all tattered up, you know.
I mean, what's that dude that never even got on the field? You know what I'm saying? Like, that dude who's the 60th scholarship. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he get him a check, because no matter what, he's helping that school earn. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying?
So, and he's getting trucked by what was Lindale White getting trucked by Lindale White in practice?
Yeah, that's no fun. Yeah. So, you know.
All right, Reggie Bush, man. So Reggie Bush,
That's the pot. That's the pot in the kettle right there.
Yeah.
That's the pot. That's the pot going off on the kettle. So, speaking of that, and speaking of those of the pot in the kettle, and reactions in general, Joe Biden had an interesting week last week.
Yeah, man, we got on there with.
I see what Joe was trying to do, but I don't see the Breakfast Club being a great avenue for a candidate overall, if that makes sense.
No, I see that. I can see that.
Like it was a crater for Hillary. Like, it ended Kamala Harris's campaign. Like, and I mean, I'm just talking about it. Just don't seem. It seemed like you get exposed there, which, yo, maybe you should be exposed. So that could be another idea of it. Maybe you should be exposed, but you know where you are. But if you try to just keep this straight and narrow line, though, you may not want to go on the Breakfast Club after you get elected.
Yeah, don't do it right now. I mean, this ain't the right time to be doing that, you know. But, you know, so, you know, to kind of recap it, you know, Joe went on there and basically, you know, paraphrasing a much larger conversation, but I think it's important to get the nuance of the conversation as well, that, you know, basically said, you ain't black if you're not riding mm-hmm. with him, mm-hmm. you know.
I get the it's not hurting nobody, but it's not. He shouldn't have said. He's tone deaf for not to saying that.
Yeah, you, like, can't say that. You can't say that. So there's speech that you can give when you're a member of a society, and the speech mm-hmm. you just can't do. You can't say that. Now, what I'm not gonna go as far as to say is that Joe Biden is a racist because he said it. Now, that to me, that doesn't. There's no corollary there. Those two things don't line up for me. But it's But the thing about it is also is that you gotta be able to get to a point where you can look at the full nuance of the conversation.
Xander wants to say we got invaded real quick. She wants to say hi. Say hi to everybody. All right,
what's up, Xander?
You said what's up, Xander? Huh? Oh, you want to work? You wearing it? Okay, hold on. Xander's taking over the show. You discuss Joe Biden with him.
You get the other one.
All right, baby. Let me finish up. All right. All right. You can wear the other headphone. But go ahead, Matt.
So yeah, I mean, I just feel like you can't say that as Joe. You know what I'm saying? That's not something that Joe can say. It's something that he can't be a part of, you know, putting out there. Because if you're gonna say that, you gotta be ready for the fallout that's gonna come. And I think that's kind of the danger, in my opinion, of what you get by going on the Breakfast Club, because they're not putting out fires on the Breakfast Club. That's not what fuels their ratings.
Oh no, they all about them fires.
Yeah,
the more fires, the better.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, but, you know, so to you at this point, after seeing that, I mean, I know my position kind of on it is that, you know, we got two options here. You know what I mean? We got two options here. And one of them is Donald Trump. So for me, that just means there's really only one option here. So, like, but for you, I mean, what's your takeaway with that situation? Where does that kind of land for you?
For me, it is a thing of, I'm already voting for Biden. It's all good. It's just, to me, if anything, Xander, I'm talking. You want to listen, you can just listen, okay? Live podcast in full effect with a kid.
Home duty.
Yeah. So, real talk though, like, this honestly, really, this is really a misnomer. It's just those people that didn't, that, because yes, I agree with some people saying that the Democratic Party needs to be pushed, but are y'all pushing those Republicans too, though, is my next question. So why is it only dependent on the Democratic Party, push them on stuff? Why is it that nobody's pushing them on their agendas as well? If you're saying, if you're saying that, like, if you're basically trying to say that we can go at any party, you need to push both parties then.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, I've got no problem. See, I think the mistake that a lot of people have made is that everything has gotten so polarized. It's like either you're a Bernie Sanders Democrat, who's not even Democrat hardly, mm-hmm. Or you're an Elizabeth Warren Democrat, or you're a, you know, whoever the black candidate is Democrat.
Or you're an establishment, or the Joe Biden established, quote-unquote establishment Democrat.
Yeah, or you're super liberal, or you're conservative, or you're a moderate. But, that, you know, when really all these things are all different rooms living underneath the same roof. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? But the thing to me that's weird as hell is how many people are dedicated to tearing Joe Biden down. But when I ask the question, I say, so does that mean that you're going for Trump? It's no, I ain't going for Trump. I'm like, well, okay, here's the thing. At this point, the decision's been made. Sometimes it's not about who's your favorite. Sometimes if you need to look at it from a lesser of two evils standpoint, let that be what does it for you. You know, but I think that a lot of people have a hard time settling and saying that having to settle for the lesser of two evils shouldn't be the case, which I don't agree with. But which I don't see the problem. I'm sorry. What I don't see an issue with that logic, you know, saying that you don't want to have to settle for those things. But when you're in a situation where it's that race is over and that person is there, you got to start getting your points together to make that person serve your needs and support them to get the seat. But when they get the seat, make damn sure that they are in the position to support what it is that you have after. Because guess what? You know who isn't. You already know who's not going to do it. So why make this thing have to be harder than it really has to be?
Yeah, and my thing is, I think that the discussion needs to be had of the black people with the Democratic Party, 100%. I just don't know if that was the place for it to be that kind of conversation. It felt like it was like a drive-by conversation almost for both of them. Like, it was both of them trying to get their agendas off of what they wanted to get off at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, like, Joe Biden was like, man, I fuck all what you talking about. I need to get this off. Charlamagne's like, fuck you. I'm trying to get this off. And it's like, there wasn't a real dialogue. Like, and maybe that's because of the Zoom situation. I feel like a dialogue would have been I was going to say Charlie Rose. But, you know, I mean, like them kind of fireside chats where, you know, you sitting at the thing and it's like, well, you know what, man? Or like a Larry King kind of situation where you're sitting there and you're just having a real conversation instead of like, propagandizing on both sides. If you wanted to have that conversation about black people in the Democratic Party, and I don't know, Joe Biden is the one we should be having a discussion with, period, in general.
Yeah.
I mean, why don't we have that with the leader of the Democratic convention? Why don't we have that with that person if we need to have that discussion? And why Joe Biden, why are you even going into that fire and on the other side of Joe Biden, why are you even stepping into that fire with it?
Yeah, I think you got to be careful about where you place yourself, but I think you also have to put yourself in position to be challenged on things that people have doubts about.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that, you know, he definitely was going into a place where people had doubts about how relevant he is to them or how they relate to him. So I get the logic behind it, but the approach wasn't right, you know. Yeah. And I think that I think that what he said in the moment was just a completely wrong thing to say. You shouldn't even think like that. You know what I mean? But, you know, because at the end of the day, people still going to be black no matter what.
Yeah. Like, what's crazy, Joe got a PR thing that Charlamagne didn't like him for real and was, like, already amped up. Like where you're like, oh, you got to do a thing, The Breakfast Club. It's the number one, you know, urban. Oh, okay, okay. Just to let you know, here's the little press release on what they said. Oh, word? Okay, so because he came in, because he said, you know, Joe, I don't like you too much. I mean, I'm having some issues with you. He's like, oh, I know. like he had just read it. Like, oh, I know. Yeah, I know about you.
I'm curious to see. We got a little time to get there, but I'm curious to see if it's possible for the African Americans to galvanize at all. You know, is it possible to happen? Because more or less, I just see, I mean, I had a host of conversations about this on Facebook with a number of people on Monday, which is just the worst place to do this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, hey, I got time on my hands right now. but, you know, it was just saying, you know, hey, regardless of how you feel, this is where we are, you know. Mm-hmm. So what do you have to gain by potentially disenfranchising voters that, you know, might be like, I'm not supporting this dude because he's a racist? Like, what do you got to gain? All you do is you got, I think that what needs to happen is that for Democrats and for, you know, and for African-Americans, for anybody that's not served by Donald Trump at all and the administration that's in play, you need to start behaving like a, like underdogs, not like everything's in place for us already, because it's not, mm-hmm. you know, politically speaking, you know, we definitely are not coming into this thing in control. So you got to galvanize or you go home. It's that simple.
And then the Democratic Party is like the Houston Rockets. Then it's like the Democratic Party is acting like the Houston Rockets. Like you just got, you know, like, you know, you just never going to get over the hump. Like you just always just sitting there like doing stuff to hurt yourself because of self-aggrandizing stuff, like with the Joe Biden thing. Like he had no purpose to have to do that. You know, like what, there was no benefit of the way, either one of them attacked. It's never going to be challenged. I just think that they both came in already ready to shoot their guns off.
Yeah, I agree. So it's interesting. That wasn't a great move for him, that, you know, but I mean, you know, I just hope that it gives time to at least, you know, have the conversation. But at the end of the day, you know, I don't believe he's a racist. I don't care what anybody says about that. I hope that people are measured in that. And really, at the end of the day, whether people like the man or not, they realize that no matter what the case is at this point, you got a better chance of working this way than you do the other way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's all you're going to get out of an election, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where we are. Up next, we've got Karen in the Park. The Karen Chronicles continued at a,
Yo, that one was crazy. Cause I ain't seen a nuke that fast though. That was everybody knows this is the Karen in the Park thing. You know, we've seen this happen where they call the police as a black man. But the fact that they got her dog
Barbecue Becky was the last super famous one.
Yeah, but like all those, you know, black people are out here doing whatever. Like, I'm not saying like it's fine, but the blitzkrieg that they did on her life so quickly and efficiently, they got her job taken, got her mm-hmm. dog taken, and like her condominium association is trying to kick her out.
Yeah, her life got completely erased in a matter of like, what was it, like 5 hours?
Yeah, 5 hours. All this stuff started dropping. They can't look, she got that dog from a rescue place. They came back to pick up the dog from an adoption place. They be trying to get dogs out of there. They was like, nah, we can't have you out here with this dog.
And it was a Cocker Spaniel.
Yeah.
Like I'm just waiting on them to interview the dog next. Like, man, you should have heard the shit she was saying at the crib.
But no, they said that she was treating the dog wrong because the dog, she was choking the dog on the leash while doing all that. So like,
but I thought that the dog wasn't on a leash.
No, but when she put it on there, she was like yelling at him and it was choking him. And she kept pulling and choking the dog.
So she, if there's one group of people you don't want to have against you, is them animal rights activists, boy.
They showed up at her door before she got home.
The animal rights activists, they gonna pop two Red Bulls and leave out the house. Like, we going out here and we on 10.
Mm-hmm. Everything was gone for Becky.
What this thing does though is it just outlines, you know what I'm saying, in full, you know, the way that people try to weaponize their privilege. Like that is that takes away anybody that says that this turns it from people don't do that to, oh, that person just did it, to being like, yeah, okay, she wasn't some innovator that came out of nowhere that just decided to be the first person of all time to weaponize her whiteness and to pick up the phone like that. That's all that was, man. That's a, you know, you got biological weapons, you got weapons of mass destruction. That's a DNA bomb that she tried to drop. She's just like, nope, sorry, not happening. I'm gonna call the police on you. And then I'm going to say that you're doing this. And dude's sitting back like, come on now. Wait a minute. So it begs to the question, you know, that you know, we talked about it when we
There's one small thing that you're missing in this whole thing that I don't want to disparage the brother that was doing the taping.
Okay.
I didn't know brothers bird watched. We do everything. I didn't know because he was out bird watching at the park. That was the thing that kind of took me. I was like, bird watching?
Have we seen the brother who was –
He looks like a regular brother. Yeah, he looked like a regular brother. Like, but I didn't. But then a part of me was like, was he over there on some nefarious stuff and it flipped in his head? I was bird watching just to throw the white people off on another thing. Like, oh my God, he was bird watching too. This is this is ridiculous.
This is an amazing, amazing man that did not deserve this treat.
I'm like, bird watching? I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. Look, black people, we everywhere.
We do everything. We do all of it. It's just
I never heard of that.
In my circle, I don't have anybody that's out here.
I've never heard of a black man bird watching in my life.
I know some people that have messed with some birds before, but it wasn't bird watching.
Right, that's watching. I know it's because I was flipping. He might have been over there flipping some birds.
See, I didn't even want to put that on the brother. See, you did that. You did that.
No. But shout out
send to your letters. Man. Send your letters to Daryl. I ain't even say it.
No, that was but still funny though.
But they got her. So the thing I say is that, you know, I mean, in some regards, I feel like people use phones as a blunt weapon. It's like a tool that, you know, just to get something off, just to say something, just to have a voice in the fray. But in this particular case, we saw that a phone truly can be a hell of a catalyst and be a hell of a weapon. So, like, while we're in the game of, you know, exposing things and putting stuff out there, you know, are phones our greatest allies? Or is it just another way to keep, you know, account for all the crazy things that are happening? Because it seems to me that people are only willing to act on the things that we have happen if we have indisputable proof like this.
Oh, but it's the difference that my word don't mean nothing unless it's taped. Where they say, what's the whole thing where they say if it's not recorded, it didn't happen? Like, if you can't see it, it didn't happen.
In some people, you're guilty until proven innocent, and some people is innocent until proven guilty. You know what I'm saying? And it works both ways. You know what I'm saying? You're guilty until proven innocent. So we would be at fault there. And whereas a lot of other people, they're innocent until proven guilty.
Dang. I mean, it could be, man. I mean, but then it's the other flip side of it is that maybe you will believe more. I mean, I guess that's a million-dollar question. I can't even – you know what? I can't even call that question. So I'm thinking about it from both sides of people, like, being more neglectful and then people also not believing people as well.
Right.
Because they don't have a video.
Yeah, and that's the thing to me is it's like, you know, which way is it? Which way, you know, so I mean, in some regards, I think that having phones now and having the video and things like that indisputably can help us to have the proof and the things that we need. However, there's also a huge issue of the fact of just having the fact that if we don't have this, it don't matter. And also, so in some regards, I think we can use these phones and use what we do on social media to leverage that and to put things in front of people. In this case, it puts decision makers in corners that they got to react. So you go to this chick's job and you say, hey, you know, hey, this is your type of people? This is the type of people that you deal with? Huh. We got to think about whether we're dealing with y'all. And now they got to go ahead and put the axe out there and do that. That's the side of the civil war or the political war that we got a shot to get to win at. But without that, I don't feel like any other tool we got, including the court of law, is going to do anything. So it's a crazy dilemma to have in hand between the two things.
I mean, man. I don't know. The brother's name is Christian Cooper, too, for the record. Just, you know, brother out there. And if you see him, he got a camera and everything. The brother was out there really watching maybe shit. Oh, man. I mean, it's fine. I'm with it, man. Look, we learn something new every day, man. That brother might – I want it to be like on
hey,
some
heroes. Heroes come in.
Yeah, they do. And a shout out to Ray Woods Jr. that said that we need to put the cell phone as a part of Black History Month. That it's done more for civil rights just as much as Martin King.
Hey, real talk. Not as much as Martin Luther King. Hold on, now. But yeah, it's the tool that's getting us over in some of these cases.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
shout out to the brother Christian Cooper though. I wonder if he's like a bird watching like Mike Tyson is with his pigeons, where he's got a whole coop of them back at the crib.
Right.
In boxes.
So we had obviously a lot of people talking about the situation that happened up in Minnesota this week.
Yeah, with the brother Floyd.
There's a lot going on with that. You know, again to me, it's just the latest chapter in a book that just continues to get extended, that continues to be in reprint, continues to have more things like that. You know, another hashtag that's going to get made. It's another person died for no reason. And it was, you know, honestly, from everything we've seen about that cop and everything that's tied to it, it was a dude that had a motive too and had an agenda. You know what I mean? The pictures that come up with him being at all these Trump rallies, and you know what I'm saying? You know what that means. We don't even have to spell that out no more. If anything that we've seen happen with a lot of this stuff and a lot of the people doing the background detail on these people and find out who they are, and there's a common denominator, which me once again says, how are you even, it's almost petty to debate whether Joe Biden or Donald Trump is going to be better for black people. I don't even know how. Like Donald, the people that are following Donald Trump, a great deal of them are the ones that were drawing straight lines to them eradicating black people. Like, come on, man. Like, I'm not to say that there hasn't been somebody who believes in Joe Biden or believes in the Democratic Party or something like that and ain't been hard on black folks. Racism knows no political party, but boy, it sure is sleeping around with one a lot more than it is with the aggressive racism. I'll put it that way. But in the midst of all that, there was also a looting situation that was going on that had some crazy outcomes. I heard it was a chick that hopped up out of a wheelchair that was trying to stab people.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they said, she was sitting in the wheelchair and they attacked her and then she stood up out the wheelchair and ran off. I'm just like, this is.
Yeah, I mean.
But I believe that Conspiracy Brother had, I had heard that he had some things that he needed to.
Hold on. Let me go get him.
Hey, Akbar X, brother X, how are you?
I'm doing good, my brother. I'm doing my good. Rest in peace to the brother Floyd in Minnesota. First, ashe to that brother there.
Absolutely.
I've been feeling pretty down in the dumps, brother Matt, about this whole thing.
Myself, it's been kind of hard to watch. I've had to get off of social media just because it's just been too much. You know, between the young brother down in Georgia, it's just been too much.
Yeah. It's not that
I'm so aware of the truth that I can't keep consuming it, you know?
Yeah. And it's even crazier, brother, that you see that the revolution happened in Minnesota. You know who else is from Minnesota?
Prince.
Yeah. And what was his group name?
The Revolution.
There you go. See?
Yes. See.
And what'd they do to Prince?
Oh, well, they killed Prince too.
There you go. See the path this is going on? And I got some other issues going on, especially with this the rioting and the looting. They rioted at the Target, brother. And I was thinking, if they call the place Target, why you don't think it's going to be targeted?
Well, that's a good decision.
Did you see? And they talk about black people lazy.
Wait a minute. I just want to go back to Target for a second, just to make sure I'm with you. You know, sometimes you got to do these things to make sure I'm right. Mm-hmm. So with the store being called Target, you got to basically understand that you're going to be one if there is what you're saying, right?
For sure. So why would you name it that?
Well, but who are they targeting there? And who's doing the targeting?
Both.
Oh, all right. So just either way?
Everybody. It's a whole setup. See, the thing about the Target is, it's a double, triple thing going on here, brother. It's a lot of little small things that you haven't even realized is going on. So they talk about the people being lazy in there and looting and all that. How lazy are you if you got two carts full of stuff getting up out of there with all this drama going on? And you go back for that matching end table? You went back for that matching end table to go with your new situation at home. And you want to call them people lazy?
That's very true. Actually, see, that's what I'm
they
with want. You
they, and if you notice, they only show the white people just in their perusing, doing our thing. They only show us picking up all the stuff. I got video of them going to the mayonnaise factory and rioting on that too.
The mayonnaise factory.
Yes, it's in Brainerd, Minnesota. The mayonnaise factory is in Brainerd, Minnesota. Population no black people, and they was there stealing mayonnaise there, and that's 2 hours from Minneapolis. But they don't talk about that in the news.
They don't. You're right. You're 100% right. So real quick, Conspiracy Brother, I wanted to get your thoughts just around a number of the things that we talked about here.
Oh, you mean numbers? You want to talk about the numbers?
Yeah, I know the math. You make the numbers work in a way that most people I know don't. So I just want to see how that aligns for you. Real quick, we just got done talking about Karen in the park, and there was a brother that Daryl, when he was here, Daryl was talking to me about it, saying that this brother was bird watching. Yes. And we thought that was kind of unique. So maybe you had some experience with those, because I know we hadn't.
He was white woman watching.
I think that's what it really was, though. But we don't want to talk about that too much because his brother, you know, all heroes don't wear capes. So he was watching white women, though. And that was the thing about it. He was watching the white women, watching them go back and forth, up and down the street, up and down the block, and watching birds, too, I think, though, as well.
So birds in the other way. Not because, you know, birds are a multi-dimensional thing. Yeah, I mean, think there's actual birds. There's birds that you drug paraphernalia birds. Mm-hmm. And then there's birds who are women.
No, I don't think the brother's flipping birds. I don't think the brother's flipping birds.
No, I don't think you're flipping birds either, but I just feel like the brother might have been looking for birds if I'm following what you're saying.
Yeah.
He was looking for
the only thing that I don't understand the brother, because when I was in the joint, I got my degree in making birdhouses. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so
a degree in making birdhouses.
Yeah, in birdhouses, yeah. So, like, I used to make a little bath.
Was it in carpentry or was it in birdhouses? Like, just birdhouses. Like, can you build anything else or is it just birdhouses?
Just birdhouses.
Okay, got it.
And so, what I would do is, what my setup is, I'll make a little bath, little thing for them, like a little jacuzzi, sitting outside a little birdhouse. I had them a whole little setup. I got them a little retractable roof, kind of like the Seattle Superdome, where the retractable roof come in and off for the birds, you know, because sometimes they might have a little female over, and then they want to retract the roof off, or they can have them fun and reproduce and help us out. Because birds are the connection for us to be free, because birds are free. They fly. So we want them to be free. That's why I want to major in birdhouses, because I want the symbolism that the black man can be free by flying.
All right. All right. And you know who had a song about birds flying away
in particular?
Well, yes, but I was going to go in a different direction. When Paul McCartney had a song called Blackbird
not my type of white guy.
So these weren't blackbirds.
Paul McCartney stole that song from a brother named Cleophas Robinson from Cincinnati, Ohio, on December the 5th, 1972. Stole it from him right then.
So
I was there.
You were there in 72?
In spirit.
Oh, you went back. You flew.
No,
there in
I knew
spirit.
Some brothers that was there, and then they explained it to me what happened.
Oh, all right.
But so I was there because brothers, we all together, so I was there.
Well, that's true. But before I let you go, we talk about birds and we're talking about black people. I forgot about the fourth kind of bird who's been controversial while also being accepted by black people, and that's Larry Bird.
Larry Bird is my kind of white guy.
All right, all right. Well, hey, thank you, Conspiracy Brother.
Well, he doesn't like white people just as much as we don't.
That's true. That's very true. Akbar X, the Conspiracy Brother, ladies and gentlemen.
Letting y'all know, y'all can go to my new Patreon account, Akbar Lives Forever. And it's my new book that's coming out, Two George Bushes. And how it's the same George Bush. I talked about this last time. People been interested in knowing my theories on the two George Bushes being one and how he's Back to the Future, front and center.
I also had heard a rumor that you might be having your own short prod, like a podcast brief here on the
I've been thinking about it. I don't know because the white man won't let me be on for too long.
I heard it's gonna be called Brother in the Birdhouse, but not the Big House.
See that might be something we need to do. Akbar appreciates that that the people been listening. They've been waking up. They've been waking up, man. They've been waking up. And, I want to jump into this Joe Biden thing before I get out of here.
I wouldn't want to rob you of that.
How many letters are in Joe Biden's name? If you want to add that up for me real quick, Brother Matt.
It's eight.
How many is that?
Eight.
Eight. And if you multiply that three by eight, what you get?
Yeah, 24. Which
and who
means
is Kobe Bryant?
Ken Griffey Jr.
Kobe Bryant, baby. Okay. It's all back to Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant forever.
Hey, man, look, man, Akbar, man, look, he's been real hurt, though, about all this stuff with the William Floyd thing, which is even more crazy, though, even diving into it a little bit for a second. You know that Stack Five's like, boy, you see that? You don't know, his Instagram, like, that's his boy he grew up with.
Oh, man.
They look just alike. They call each other the twin. Like, they got, like, literally just alike. He's like, we the same height, same weight, everything. He's like, when we first met each other, he's like, who your daddy? Because they look just alike.
That's like a whole nother show, Black Funerals, and the plot twist at Black Funerals.
And they both from Houston. Or Dallas, right. One of them. One, I forgot which one it is. But yeah, man, that's the whole thing, man. Like, this whole, I mean, but my thing is, being from St. Louis, man, we seen this shit, man. Mm-hmm. Like,
ain't nothing. I was saying this earlier today, man. On Facebook post said, man, it is almost rare for me to know somebody who didn't have some run-ins with the cops.
Yeah.
Running their own life, doing their own thing, not out here doing nothing than that. I mean, I got at least a handful of them I could run off. You know what I'm saying? I was walking down the street one day with a red polo on and got pushed up against the car. I got shook down by the cops just because. It's just like, yeah, you fit the description. Like, hey, I bet I do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's just, you know what I mean? And then that was just a day in the life. You know what I mean? And I give you six more times. Like, you know, but I think it's just kind of crazy. I don't say it's crazy, but the thing, I learned something about us a lot. And I think it's a good thing, but it's also something it still kind of wakes me up. How many people haven't experienced that? You know what I mean? Or I haven't directly run into those things. Mm. And I think that kind of is a thing where, I mean, I'm not even talking about white people, I'm talking about black people.
Yeah, yeah, I'm talking about, yeah, yeah.
That are just like, you know, just like stunned by it. Like for me, my reaction's a little different because I'm not stunned by it. You know what I mean? And I know a lot of other people that aren't either, but I mean, I think the people just respond different.
But we're also cynical dudes, though. More cynical dudes, though, man. Like, we look at the game of life a little bit different. Like, we, you know, like, because for me, my innocence, I think my total last thing of innocence changed with Katrina. Like, that's when I literally was like, oh, there it, like, this whole game is, like, you know, because I just graduated from college. I was like, okay, I'm a little bit optimistic about shit. I got a good job. And Katrina happened. I was like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what took my innocence, I guess, if there's innocence. I mean, I always never had innocence, but like,
no, I know
we had a little bit of optimism.
It just pulled the rest of that optimism back. You know what I'm saying? Like for me, I mean, I grew up hearing stories about it. I grew up seeing it in a more advanced form, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just, is it. I mean, I think that when you grow up in the early 90s and you see some of the stuff that happened in the early 90s that was born in the 80s, man, you see a lot of stuff that's just pretty hardcore and just raw to the fact. So, you know, but I don't, you know, I think that anybody that criticizes anybody for seeing any of the things that they're seeing right now, saying, you know, you shouldn't react this way, you shouldn't do that. You know, that's one thing that I'm never going to say. My challenge to people is pretty consistent. All right, cool. We reacting, but what are we going to do?
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Because there's a cycle that I just, right now, that I don't like, man. And it's just like, what happens is, this happens again, man. A brother gets killed. We get angry. You know what I'm saying? We do a demonstration for him, and it wears off. And then we get back to fucking arguing about Michael Jordan and LeBron James or, you know, or talking about all this other bullshit that don't matter. When during that time, we could be doing some stuff about these things. But then the next time it happens, people get involved in it. And I think that in some regards, man, it's because people don't know how easy it is for them to get involved. But they are stunned by how easy it is for this thing, something like this, to touch them. You know what I mean? For it to be them. But I would argue to say it's even easier to get involved in doing something about it. And it doesn't have to be, everybody doesn't have to run for Congress. Everybody doesn't have to run for a seat or anything like that. Like, we got some people that can do that, but there's something that everybody can do to help pick up their community, pick up brothers and sisters that's in it, the younger brothers and sisters especially. There's something that everybody can do. And I think there's something that everybody can do that's a little different than just making another hashtag or, you know, day after day being upset about, you know what I'm saying, this. Like, all right, this happened. Let's get to work on making sure that this don't keep happening. You know what I'm saying? And that's, you know, that's why anybody black that says don't vote, I don't understand it. I don't. There's so many things, organizations you can be a part of and cast your vote in so many ways. It don't just have to be at the polls. But the way that we going to win as a people is we got to go into the systems that they've created to maintain for themselves and the things that benefit, that don't benefit our culture and work against it. And we got to flip that because we're a minority, no matter how you count it. We're a minority in number. We're a minority in race. We gotta come out stronger than the majority does just to have a fair chance. And we ain't giving it to ourselves the way we're going about tactics right now. Just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, and even the holding the vote hostage thing, like, you do, to be a hostage, you have to be able to give up, not give up something, but you have to have something to withhold. So the way you play it in my eyes is, boom, all right, we got you on this one, Democrats. All right, we know what it is for this. but these are the things we demand. And if we don't see these demands by the end, then you can say, I'm pulling my vote after that.
Yeah.
You got to prove that your vote is worth it and then pull it.
I hear a lot of people talk about allies and things like that. And I think that there are people who are, you know, sympathetic to the cause. There's some white people that grew up in the same environment as black people and just naturally bond to it. You know, they can't help what they genetics are, you know what I mean? But that's just what it is. Maybe they grew up in that environment and maybe in some regards, people truly feel the need to help people that aren't, you know what I'm saying, on the up, that aren't the majority. So doing what it can, doing what they can, you know, but, you know, the thing about it is that I see is that there's one way you can force people to be an ally, and that's to hold those politicians accountable.
Right.
You can force people to be an ally when they do that. And that's the only term in which that whole ally thing, even that makes sense to me. You can force somebody to see things your way. But there's some people that just ain't willing to do it no matter what the numbers are. And for me, that's the difference between the two people that are running for president. But you better damn well make sure you know who those people are that are running for state council, that are running for the Board of Education, who are running for anything that's going on around you, because the system has layers of this, and it isn't just at the president. The biggest thing, one of my homeboys said this, he said it beautifully yesterday. He said the biggest power the president holds is electing judges. Other than that, you can get all this stuff done with people up underneath them, and then just put in front of them what they got to deal with.
I mean, and then you're talking about judges. You're talking about that he's got two Supreme Court justices he's going to put up coming up.
Can't have that. Can't do that. You would not, if you call yourself trying to make the world a better place for your children, that's a place you can start. Don't allow the highest court in the land to get hijacked. No matter who the president is, that's going to put a huge damper in. So.
And it's already imbalanced now. It's going to be even more, not even just for the sake of even having better bureaucracy in general. You don't want it that imbalanced, that the way it would be set up.
Right.
You don't want that even for your bureaucracy. Just for things to be balanced. You want a balanced government. You'd end up having seven freaking Republican court justices.
Supreme Court, yeah. It's just
that's not even make sense.
Yeah, that's crazy. You can't have that. You know, already let one seat get hijacked with the way they did the Kavanaugh thing. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, no, not Kavanaugh. I'm sorry, the one before him.
Yeah, the one that they wouldn't approve Barack's
own. The whole Merrick Garland thing. It was a disaster, and it was letting them people steal an opportunity from Obama because they just waited them out. You know what I'm saying? Hey, one thing the Republicans do well in some regards, play dirty ass pool. You gotta be ready to play that shit with them somehow. You know. But we had two things we wanted to hit. I want to table one of them. Because I want for people to think about some, but we're going to come back on the next episode. We're going to talk about the worst city in every state and why. We're going to talk about the experiences that we've had in them. We came across a chart on the internet that said it.
It's not even voted. I guess somebody had a podcast. Some people vote. I don't even know what it means, but it's funny.
We're gonna take this torch and run with it, though. I think we're gonna put it up. We're gonna put it up on the Straight Out Local.
Yeah, you know what? I'll do that. I'm gonna do that now.
Yeah. So we'll put it up so that y'all can see it in advance and see where we're going, start the conversation up. But we're gonna come back and talk about that on the next show. But before we get out of here today, though, I mean, obviously, maybe the most ridiculous piece of news of the week. In a week full of bad news, there was also just some utterly ridiculous that happened too. And Donald Trump is angry at social media. What are the odds? And specifically, he's angry at Jack Dorsey and Twitter, who decided to fact check two of his tweets, as they've been known to do when people make imperative statements, but they hadn't done to him yet. So now they decided to fact check his statement. And he lost his shit over it.
Because remember, Twitter's his only place, though. Like, he's just like, fuck it now. This is his only place is Twitter that he gets love at, that we can do whatever.
Right, right. And when they go on there and they prove that the things he's saying aren't true and ridiculous, and then give actual irrefutable facts and to the contrary to why it isn't.
And they put an addendum on the bottom of his tweets, like, this is the source for the truth of this matter.
Yeah, lost his mind. Like, he literally flipped out. So this might be the pettiest move that we've seen in quite some time. But he said that he's going to announce today, Thursday, this will come out tomorrow, but he's saying he's going to announce an executive order against social media companies because Twitter, because just because Twitter said two of his tweets are potentially misleading.
And the thing was, the before, remember when Elizabeth Warren wanted to give some more oversight to social media, and Jenny's like, no, we don't need that. We don't need that. Jack Dorsey's good guy.
Right. Until Jack Dorsey decided to tell him, yeah, what you're saying is bullshit.
Yeah.
So now it's a draft order that targets a law known as the Communications Decency Act. Section 230 of the legislation provides broad immunity to websites that curate and moderate their own platforms, and has been described by legal experts as the 26 words that created the internet. So I guess that while he's undoing everything else that Democrats have done, I guess he's going to take Al Gore's internet now too and undo that as well.
No, that's true.
So what he did, though, of all people, he sent Josh Hawley out there from Missouri to send out a letter that he's going to challenge Jack Dorsey on his right to say that you must be a publisher since you own Twitter and all these people are writing words up underneath your website.
Yeah, it's a...
So here's the thing about that. Let's say that. First of all, this is unenforceable to tell. There's no way this is going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
But unless Congress stepped in and did something about it, and I just don't foresee that happening. How many of the people that literally move his word along get their wings clipped by this law going into play?
I don't know.
Like, Twitter and Facebook are the places where people go to have these digital battles now between the hedges of all this stuff. But the thing is, you're going to make a law. Like, this is, listen, over the last 3.5 years, we've had some extraordinarily petty things happen. Like, this has been the pettiest 4 years of my life by far, that I've observed at least. But this has to be a new level of steeping down for the petty, right? It's got to be.
Yeah, no, it's the pettiest thing ever. And my thing is, if he loses social media, what is he going to have left? How does he get to his Trumpians?
Well, that's what he's saying.
But I'm saying if he tries to shut, you better have some way than no way.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I don't know.
Are the Trumpites going to go to the dark web and they have a whole nother Twitter just for them on that side?
I'm sure that exists already.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Even on this side, I'm sure there's. Yeah. I'm sure this whole corner's of Reddit that worked that way.
Shout out to the incels group.
Yeah, I'm kidding. So this is one that I'm looking really forward to watching. I'm really looking forward to see how this plays out because there's nothing that I don't get much joy out of too many petty things anymore. I think I've kind of moved past that point. But this one getting volleyball spiked is going
to
be
what's so funny. I do think social media needs to be regulated more, like needs to be put in check. But it wasn't in this wasn't the route to.
I do to go. I agree.
Yeah, like this is not the hero I wanted here.
I think there should be. I wish that there was like a warning that came up when you, like, for example, on Facebook, if you post something that's over a certain age, you got there needs to be something that pops up like this is outdated news.
This person died 4 years ago, just so you know. I don't know saying that Etta James died again, you know.
This story has since been updated, and this news has been resolved, so this isn't relevant to whatever you're reading.
Here's the article of the new update. Etta James is still dead. Like, she still died 4 years ago. She didn't just die.
Yeah. So, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm looking forward to this. Hopefully, we got an update on this by the time we come out next. So, what do we have dropping soon for folks, man? Just so the folks can stay
Commentary is coming back. They got theirs coming up. We got some interviews we're going to be doing with some more people coming up. That we'll be dropping soon. I love 90s music. He's dropping another one next week. So look, stay abreast of your feed.
Get another. Can I kick it in with the Premier League coming back?
Yeah. I'm getting one this weekend. One of those this weekend. So it's gonna be.
Yeah, man. The network continues to expand. We got a lot of other stuff up our sleeves that's gonna happen, man. But we'll do that. Be sure to check out our interviews that dropped recently here on Scenario Remix. With both Adonis Sutherland, shout out to Adonis, people's reaction to that. People really enjoyed that episode, and also the one we done with Brad Edwards too, man.
One of the key things everybody kept talking about is that he took the job because of Alicia Keys. That's been the key thing that people have emailed and tweeted us about. Like, that's just out of all the stuff y'all got from all that game, that's what y'all took.
Yeah, well, hey, hell of a place to start. But yeah, he'll be back. We're gonna have him back on for a part two of that, man. We're gonna go do some deeper dives into just, you know,
and let him drink on air because he didn't know we would drink on air.
Because we did it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon this time. But yeah, we'll do it. We'll get in one with him, man. We'll do some deeper dives into music and just some more things, you know, his head as well. But yeah, you know, keep it locked, man, and keep it coming. We got something new coming for you every day, it feels like. So
yeah,
you know, keep it locked and keep rocking with us.
All right, peace out, y'all.